All right, picking up where we left off last time, we've asked this question multiple times already. Okay, what is the question we're asking, Sam? Right. Was Jesus God? Now, we've already tackled the attributes, the characteristics that he has. And last time we were together, you guys remember? Okay, we went through multiple attributes. The three omnis. What are the three omni attributes of Jesus? Omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Okay. Some of the other ones we looked at was that he was eternal. We also looked at his self-existence. What does self-existence mean?
He was always there.
That's not what self-existent means.
He meant his own.
What's the difference between eternal and never-ending? Never-ending at a beginning. All right? So is eternal the same thing as everlasting?
Yes. Yeah. Wait.
I just asked that, you know, like, I think just about everyone in the world has John 3:16 memorized, but different translations put it as everlasting life or eternal life. Just, but did that life ever have a starting point? All right. Immutable, what does immutable mean?
Doesn't change.
Good, doesn't change. He doesn't change. And that he was holy. All right, so then we ask ourselves the question again. This time, we're going to focus on the works that Jesus does. Now, we're not going to look at every work or act that Jesus did, but we are going to look at some of them. But the issue is this, is if Jesus was God, then he does things that only God does. So that's kind of the arguments we're looking at. Is Jesus God? That's the overarching question. We answered yes, because he has the same characteristics as God. Okay? Now we're looking at yes, he does the works of God. Okay? And we'll answer the question in other ways later, like the names. All right, so as the agent of creation, when we ask the question, who created the world, what's everyone's answer?
God.
Okay, but what is the answer God actually mean? What does God mean?
God the Father.
Okay, when we say it, we typically mean God the Father. But does the word God exclusively mean God the Father?
No.
So what's it mean? When we say the name God, what's it mean?
Like who are we talking about?
Yeah, like who are we talking about?
I guess it depends.
Okay, it depends. Robert, how does it depend? All right, so Sam, you're saying it depends on which God person you're talking about. So how can you use the word God, Sam? Yeah, I just want you to explain a little bit more what you just said. Okay. I said, when we say the word God, what are we talking about? And the answer was, it depends on which one you're talking about. Okay. So what do you mean by which one you're talking about when you use the name God? There's three gods? All right. Does anyone understand what Sam just said?
No.
Nope. Okay. All right, Sierra, what do you got for me? Speak loud enough so that Sam and Ben can hear you up here. All right, so we use the word God to refer to which member of the Trinity?
Father.
Is it only God the Father? All right, you could use it for all of them. So we use that word, it's kind of a collective noun, if you will, where, you know, like we use the word class. Okay, it's plural referring to all of them. But we also use it specifically, right, Ben?
Yes.
in the sense that we can say God, when we mean God the Father, or God as in Jesus, or, you know, Sam kind of mentioned it as he was sharing, the idea that even the Holy Spirit we can refer to as God, you know, but we don't necessarily do that all the time. Okay? So where would you go in your Bible to tell me that God was the agent of creation? Hint, it's not on the screen. All right, Ben's going to take us to Genesis 1:1. What's it say?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? So, does that mean that God the Father created the earth, God the Son created the earth, or God the Holy Spirit created the earth?
All three.
All right. Why do you say all three, Zedekiah?
Because they were all there as evidenced by New Testament verses.
Okay, as evidenced by New Testament verses. Sierra? Very good. There's a plurality reference. Absolutely. All right. Someone help me out. When was the book of Genesis written? Good. During the Exodus with Moses. Anyone know about the year? A long time ago. Yeah. Oh, you all, I failed to introduce him. I don't think many of you, if any of you, actually know Barry Campbell. Barry Campbell's sitting in the back of the room. So that's Barry. He is considering coming in to help out with student ministry. So, he's a Fayetteville police officer. Used to be out in Aberdeen as a police officer. Now he's here. So, that's Barry. All right. What else? Anything else on God? What does the word God actually mean in Hebrew? Do you know that? I've told you this before. God does not mean Yahweh. What? Elohim? Good. It means Elohim. What does Elohim mean then? Does it only mean God? Alright. Do you guys know, someone help me out, who's fairly proficient at the English language? Just a little. All right, Brian, help me out on this. Ready? All right, I promise you can nail this one. Okay, Brian, you ready? What is this right here? It's not difficult. Tell me what this is. It's a chair. All right, how many are there? 22? One chair. Okay. Now, Brian, if I had two of them together, what word do you use then? Chairs. And what did you do to make it plural? You added an S. All right, good job, Brian. So in English, we add an S to make it plural.
Abraham.
In Hebrew, what do they add? They don't add an S. Do you guys know what they add? Not L. They add an im. I-M.
No, I said that. I said
mm.
Oh.
L-O is
one. So L is God. So anytime you see that, so literally, when we see the word in Hebrew, Elohim, we have to look at context to see whether or not they're talking about capital G-O-D or lowercase gods. Because they're both the exact same. Well, when Moses writes the book of Genesis, obviously he's given it from God. Moses was not there at the beginning. But when he writes it, he uses a word that they know to mean God. Because the Elohim of Egypt would have been all the different gods of Egypt that God executes judgment on in the plagues. Okay? We look at it, and it's easy for us to understand because it looks like gods or uppercase God. And it's simply defined for us. Hebrew, they have to look at the context. So we typically just say God created them. And then when we say that, most often, and it was mentioned earlier, we're referring to God the Father. So the argument we want to be able to articulate is that Jesus is God because he was there, because he was the creative agent. He's the one who created. Now, by arguing this, are we saying that God the Father did not create the world?
No. Are we saying that?
That's what I want to know.
No, we're not
saying that. So what are we saying then? If we as we already walked in through our presuppositions of what we understand, that we say God, we typically mean God the Father. And we say God created, and so there's this assumption that it was God the Father that created the earth. But we want to make the argument that Jesus is God because He's also the agent of creation. So how do we walk this line between the two? Well, when we say God, we need to understand that it is a Trinity. All right, Sierra mentioned this. There are three persons of the Godhead that exist in complete unity. Hard to understand, hard to wrap your brain around, but hey, there are a lot of things that are hard to understand and wrap your brain around, but we trust them. So, John chapter 1, verse 3. I need a volunteer to read that nice and loud. A quiet person? All right. Yeah, Malachi, go ahead. You can read this one for us.
Number 1?
Yeah, John 1, verse 3.
Yes, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All
right, who's the Him? Do you know? Who's the Him, Malachi? Okay, but that's not the case we're trying to make this morning. We're trying to make the case that Jesus is God because Jesus is the creative agent. So let's go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. You need some context. All we have in John chapter 1 verse 3 that I put on the screen for you is a masculine pronoun. We need the antecedent. We need to know who the Him is referring to.
You know, there are girls in my school that are saying God is a woman. They are pressing it.
That's
like,
really preposterous.
I'm like, I do not care. Let me go to class. They have a whole booth and everything.
All right, Sam, I'd love to talk to you about that at a later time. All right, so John chapter 1. I need a volunteer to read chapter 1, verse 1.
All
right. All right, go ahead, Zedekiah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
All right, does that tell us that we have a Jesus involved? Do we have Jesus involved? You guys, it would be really helpful if you were in John 1 looking at it with us. No, you have one verse out of an entire like section of Scripture. All John chapter 1 that I gave you on the screen gives you a pronoun of Him. Remember, Sam, this is where your brain then sidetracked over to what's going on at school.
Okay. I said Him.
I know. I'm not faulting you. I'm just tracking it back for you. Okay. So in John chapter 1, Zedekiah read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, what are the nouns that we have going on there as far as relating to God? We have the Word, and what's the other one? God, the Word God itself. Does that tell us anything that's Jesus? Do we have it narrowed down to Jesus?
No.
All right. Robert, since you're there, will you read verse 2 for me?
The same was in the beginning with God.
He was in the beginning with God. Does that tell, okay, well, there we got God in this reference to He. Does that tell us that it's a Jesus? All right. We read verse 3. We had that one on the screen for us. In verse 4, I need a volunteer to read that one. John chapter 1, verse 4. Who are you pointing at?
Robert said he would read.
I already
read. Here, hand your Bible over to your brother. Jaleel can read for us. Go ahead and read verse 5 while you're at it. 4 and 5. Nice and loud. And 5.
And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not.
All right. Any reference to Jesus there yet?
No.
All right. Take a moment, and if you're on your phone, you're in John chapter 1, not on some social media app. Where do we get to connecting any of this to Jesus? Because verse 6 starts talking about there being a man sent from God whose name was John. That's not it. Verse 7 tells us about that John who came as a witness, to bear witness about that light that was referenced in verse 5, so that all might believe through him. Well, that's another pronoun reference. He, being John, was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. All right, Tyler says to go down to verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10, We have the true light, which gives light to everyone which is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Okay?
Starting in verse 14 is where he comes to
the world was made flesh.
All right, Zedekiah and Robert, tag team, and tell us to go to verse 14. All right, Nathaniel, you got verse 14? Read verse 14 for us.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
All right. Now, let me ask you this, Nathaniel. We were told the Word, up in verse 1, was there at the beginning, and that Word was God, and that Word was with God. And now we're told, what else did that Word do, based upon what you read, Nathaniel?
It became a human being.
All right, high schoolers, you need to understand this. The world that you live in does not want you to believe in Orthodox Christian doctrine. It does not want you to believe that God is referenced in masculine pronouns because that's the way He ordained it. Okay? Ben and Sam had their own little sidebar. I mean, okay, Sam says he's got a committee, if you will. Is it a committee of fair representation, Sam? Of students at his school trying to push for the fact that God is a woman. All right? And Ben rightly deduced they're probably just listening to a little too much Ariana Grande. Okay? But that's the world you're living in. Your world does not want you to believe that Jesus is God or that Jesus did anything spectacular. And so they will say things like Jesus never claimed to be God. So what they say, or what I should say, what they mean when they say that is Jesus never said, Brian, I am God. And so since Jesus never said the words, I am God, therefore Jesus has never claimed to be God. Is that a fair representation? No, it's not. What you have to do is you have to look at a passage like John chapter 1, which is a phenomenal passage, and you have to decide who's the he, who's the him, what's going on in here, and who is it describing? Because if you look at the rest of the New Testament narrative, you don't even have to look at the New Testament narrative. Look at the first 5 or 6 chapters of each of the Gospels, because that's really all you need, because we're given a timestamp. Because let me ask you this. If there was no reference to the man named John in John chapter 1, would you know at what point in time this was referring to? Or could it be a little ambiguous as to when the hell happened? You understand what I'm saying? You have a link to a certain point in time because we know that there's a man named John, and he's the one who is out bearing witness about this one. And so we're like, oh, well, it's John. Well, then we start making the connections that who is the John? What do we know him as? John the Baptist. And we know that John the Baptist bore witness or paved the way, was the forerunner of what man? The Messiah. What's his earthly name?
Jesus.
So we have to take several different characteristics and we have to connect it to the fact that John chapter 1 makes this case. That the Word, which was there at the beginning, which was with God and was God, verse 3, that all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Who is that Him? Who is that Word? He's the one that took on flesh, and He's the one that John the Baptist was telling others about. All right, so Christ is the agent of creation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, this one's a little easier because there are names in the verse, all right? So we don't have to dig as deep into the context. All right, Zach, will you read verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 for me? It's on the screen if you want to look there. Second one down.
Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all things through whom we exist.
All right. So here's, as you read this verse, all right, look at chapter 8, verse 6 with me. All right, it's on the screen. You don't have to turn in your Bible. But do you all see something that's very similar? It's English, all right, I got it. Do you see anything that looks similar? Any words repeated?
God.
You see the word God repeated?
Him.
I only see the word God once in that sentence.
Are all things.
All right, so check this out. We have from whom are all things and for whom we exist. All right? And then the next part of the sentence says through whom instead of from whom, but through whom. So we have a from and a through, okay? But are all things and through those through whom we exist. So there is an all things and exist. You guys see the parallel construction of the sentence? All right? So are there two different levels on which, okay, well, we all things are come from here and they exist over here with this one, and then they also come from over here and they exist over here. Are there two different channels or is it one channel and with two different labels? It's one channel with two different labels. We're not talking about two different entities. Paul's saying the same thing two different ways. You all see that in the sentence. That's why he's giving you the same sentence structure. There's one God. Okay, we're good with that. And that's the Father. And he labels it the Father. And he says, from whom, so kind of giving us an origin of things, are all things. And for the Father, we exist. Simultaneously, there is one Lord, one Master, one Kurios, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's through Him that all... So it's almost like you have to understand it this way, that everything is from God and through Christ, simultaneously. Well, which one is it? Yes, it's both. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Who hasn't read for us yet? Yuri, will you read for me, buddy? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Nice and loud. Oh, you don't have your glasses on today? All right, so Colossians chapter 1. Now, what's missing in this verse, just like John chapter 1, verse 3, when I gave you one verse? Names. Okay. This is where you guys have to keep in mind, we're doing topical study. Okay. The reason we're doing topical study is because we're looking at systematic theology, what it is we believe. Okay. And now all I'm doing is giving you a, here's what we believe, and here's some Bible passages that you can get support from for this belief. The reality is this. You have to go to these Bible passages and see what's in this passage that tells me that this statement is true. So we're going to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Yuri read it for us, but this verse only gives us pronouns. For by Him, pronoun, all things were created. Where? In heaven and in earth, so everywhere. The visible things and the invisible things, whether it's a throne or a dominion, whether it's a ruler or an authority, all things were created through Him and for Him. Okay, well, if we back up a little bit, go back one verse in Colossians chapter 1, all we have is, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Well, that doesn't help us any. Okay, yes, they're true. All right, you look at Colossians chapter 1. Where do you have to go to get a name? How far apart from verse 16 do you have to go to find a name? To point this to a proper noun, a particular person, place, thing, or idea. Okay. 19. So we'll look at 13 and 14 first, and then we'll go look at 19 in just a second. Tyler says in 13 and 14 that He, another pronoun, has delivered us from dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, now we understand that, we believe that, But it still doesn't give us a name. All right, Robert said, other than you're referring to the label of son. All right, so we've got a father in verse 12 and a son in verse 13. Robert mentioned 19, that for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell.
Verse 3.
All right, Nathaniel says verse 3. We thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love that you have for the saints, because of the hope that's laid up in heaven for you, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, in the of the gospel, which has come to you as indeed the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does also among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved brother and fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to you, made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His word, of His will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing to the knowledge of God. And we've made it all the way back to where we were. But we still don't have a name that is Christ, do we? So what are we supposed to do then? If we can't find the name Jesus or the name Christ, or Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ our Lord, how do we know this is actually talking about Christ? Yeah, I got it. Your Bible has a heading that says the preeminence of Christ. How do we know if we didn't have the headings that this is talking about Jesus? No, it was one letter. It would have been one scroll that they would have started with 1:1 for us, and they would have gone all the way down. Absolutely, Tyler. That's exactly what you have to do. You have to use the context. And what does the context tell us? The context told us that there is someone who has made atonement for our sins and given us this forgiveness. And that individual, whoever that is, he's the image of the invisible God. Now, we could scroll down and we can skip forward. Oh, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings and for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is, the church. Okay? Well, we could use that as a connection because the head of the body there, that connects back to verse 18, which we were already looking at. So context has to drive this. All right, here's the real question, students. If we have to look for context to tell us what the answer is, why don't we ever pay attention to what the contexts are? We only want verses. We want short, quick answers, and then we're done. When Paul spends what is for us a chapter connecting all these little intricate details, and then Hebrews 1, 2, and verse 10 are also examples of where we have Christ as the agent of creation.